I'm about to expose myself.
See, this is why I was nervous for this episode. I was like, when Vivian gets mad, it almost feels like I pop off.
I remember just like walking around the circular dining table and literally flipping every single chair on the floor to like make it known that I'm mad.
Hello and welcome to Voice Hugs, a podcast on becoming your best self and embracing all seasons of life with open arms. This is your host, Vivian and Rowena.
Hello. Long time no potty. Just kidding. It's just been a week. Because Viv was in Taiwan.
Yay.
Here's some B-roll highlight reel for those watching
Taiwan,
the video.
Taiwan.
If you didn't know, we have video.
Yes, I went to Taiwan. It was my first international trip since 2020. And man, I needed a vacation. So it was really nice to be very far away from home.
Aww. And Taiwan's somewhere that you grew up visiting a good amount.
Yes.
So it's like familiar.
Yes. My stepdad is from Taiwan, and my parents remarried when I was, I think, around 10. Mm-hmm. So Taiwan has been one of the few places, other than maybe Las Vegas, where I have gone to visit over, like, my life, like, the span of my life. I think I went when I was 10. I stayed there for a summer when I was 13. Aww. Went there during college, after college. And I think what was really interesting about this last trip is I realized that, like, as I was there, I was thinking about, wow, when I was here when I was 13, it was so different. Like, I had just gotten my period that summer.
Wow.
I made no money. Now I'm there. I have, like, a full income. I can buy and spend and eat whatever I want. And it was really cool to see, like, how much I've grown and changed over the years.
Aww. And when you say buy and spend and eat whatever you want, you're also not an excessive spender.
No.
It's just like boba.
Yeah.
And like not having to think about maybe saving here or there.
Yeah, because even when you're young, you have to ask your parents for boba money,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Please, please, please give me sugar and tapioca balls. And they're like, no.
Yeah, so it was really cool. And I think one thing that I did notice as I was walking around Taipei and like reflecting on all the different times that I've come here, I don't know if this happens with you, I don't think it does, but something that always happens when I travel with my parents, wherever we go, is there's always a moment on the trip where me and my mom kind of get into it. My mom was on this trip with me. Mm-hmm. There was this moment on this trip where I was like getting angry with her. And what was really cool was this is the first time I went to Taiwan post like my little self-care era or like myself, you know. And so it was really nice to see how I was actually able to self-soothe or like calm down and manage those emotions or like navigate them. And the turnaround time was just a lot faster.
I mean, girl, this happens with my mom. Like, it for sure does. In my life, I've told you this, I've said it on Voice Hugs, she and my first boyfriend were the only people, both Aquariuses, who were able to get me so riled up. No one else in my life. So I can totally relate. And just kind of going back to what you're saying earlier about, I do also feel that, like, whenever I go back to Taiwan, because for me, it's also a place where I spent a bit of my childhood. It's somewhere that I would visit once every 1 or 2 years growing up. And every time going back in my journaling era, I remember always writing like, wow, like, this is so interesting. And it's kind of strange coming back to somewhere where you're so familiar, but you feel so different. But at the same time, you feel like the same person. And it's just like all of these interesting feelings. I think that's just like one thing. And then, as you touched on earlier, I think the lack of, oh my God, I just low-key snorted, the getting angry and the traveling with parents. I would love to unpack anger in today's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The interesting thing about anger is, you know, it's just a feeling. And we've talked about so many different types of feelings in the last year or year and a half. Anger is something that I personally have a really, really hard time with. I think, like, in my mind, anger equals bad feeling. And so even preparing for this episode, like right now, even my palms are a little bit sweaty. I get a little nervous with maybe my own anger. Expressing anger in a healthy way gets a little bit confusing for me sometimes. And so although, like, there's this logical side of me that knows that, like, all feelings are equal and anger is not a good or bad feeling, I'm excited to talk about this with you too. And, you know, kind of learn a little bit more about how you express anger. Side note, there was one time I went on a trip with Ro. This was earlier on in our relationship. And part of the trip, we met up with your mom. Mm-hmm. And I just remember seeing you and your mom interact. And I was like, whoa, this is a different side of Ro. I don't know this Ro.
This is like 2016.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know this Ro.
Oh my God, my mom. The relationship with my mom has gotten so much better over the years, especially now that we're in our 30s. It's like the first thing that came to mind is that you know better, which, like, on one side, it's true, but at the same time, it's also, I think we've just, it's not that we know better, we've just grown to accept more of who we are and accept more of who they are. It's like seeing the humanity in them, it helps you, like, feel for them more. The more you understand that what they're doing for you, they're nagging, is because they're showing their love for you, even though it may not be the way you want to receive it, that is the way that they're showing it. Even till this day, my mom will be like, wear this jacket when you go out. I'm like, Mom, I'm fine. Like, my belly button's covered, my neck is covered, I'm wearing a scarf, like, I'm fine. She's like, no, wear a jacket, you're gonna get cold. But then it's funny because she says her grandma, so, like, no, her mom, my grandma, was also, like, telling her what to do even when my grandma was, like, 80, 90, and my mom was, like, in her 60s. So I don't think it'll ever end. As you said, growing up, it's like we tend to categorize things as positive and negative, and anger was for sure something that, like, you shouldn't have. But I definitely had a lot of it growing up.
So growing up, what did anger look like? Like, how did you express it? Let's paint a picture of what angry Rowena looked like when she was maybe younger than 15.
I'm about to expose myself.
See, this is why I was nervous for this episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad, but I was just one of those kids who would actually throw a tantrum and throw things around. I honestly don't remember why I got so mad at my mom one time. I think she wouldn't let me do something or wouldn't take me somewhere, or maybe there's just some sort of disagreement. Back in Taiwan, when we're living there, it's very common to have, like, bamboo woven chairs. So we had those as dining chairs. Thankfully, it wasn't anything like heavy and wooden or things more serious. So it was a bit lighter. I remember just, like, walking around the circular dining table and literally flipping every single chair on the floor to, like, make it known that I'm mad. And then my mom was like, okay, now just pick it back up. And I'm like, all right, I'll pick it back up.
Okay, there's this photo that you posted a long time ago, and it's like a young Ro with, like, a bowl cut.
Yeah.
And you're, like, kind of, like, all cute and chonky on a couch.
Yeah.
And I just imagine that Ro going, and your mom's just like, okay, are you done?
And even earlier than that, I would, if I can't get what I want, like candy in Chinese, I'll be like, "我要，我要，我一定要." Like, actually. And it's like, I want it. I want it. I really, really want it. And then my mom, savage, she'll just be like, okay, please go stand outside and stay there until you're done.
Oh my
so
God.
I remember going outside just being like, this is awfully boring. I didn't get what I want. I got put in my place. All right, I'll just get over it.
You have an older brother. Do mm-hmm. you feel like, because when I'm listening to these stories, I did not get to act out at all. I was scared to yeah. act out. And I think like that's why I'm so scared of my anger now, because it's probably much more repressed and like scary. I'm scared of my own anger. Oh. So do you think that like when you were younger, maybe like you were the second child, like you had an older brother, like did that play into it? Or like, I mean, it sounds like your mom handled it very well, like she allowed for you to.
Yeah, she allowed me, but then also was like, all right, are you done? Can we move on? I would like to think that at least for this very specific thing, it's more me. Because it's like, I still remember how angry I was that day that I flipped over the chairs. But I don't remember at all why I was that angry. I think middle school, we're still under 15, right? Like middle school, I remember getting so mad at my mom that I would like stomp into our bedroom that we shared. Because like, I'm going to end up going to sleep with her anyway. But I would just like have the craziest thoughts. Like, I'm going to word it better, because this is not how I thought in my head, but it was basically along the lines of, I just want to hurt myself and I want to disappear so I can show her that like she'd be so sad if like blah blah blah, and like I'm so pissed at her. It would be like those thoughts. Like, it was dark. I think it may have just been me and like my karma, if that, you know, if we want to get a little bit more spiritual, of maybe it was just things that I had to go through and things that I had to learn how to manage over time. I think in those moments, I was subconsciously indulging in these thoughts, but at the same time aware and like starting to get a little worried of like, do you really believe this though? And I'd be like, no, I don't.
Your mom's like, do it.
No, she would not. Oh my God.
Okay, I know this is an example from when you're much younger, and we were talking about this like jokingly. I do think that those feelings are very common though, even like at this age now. We might not have the same thoughts where it's as extreme, as hurtful to yourself, as I'm gonna like hurt myself, and like almost kind of like revenge, right? Yeah. Like, you hurt me, well, watch this, I'm going to hurt you more in whatever way that is in your head, right? I still feel that way when I feel angry. I'm like, maybe not that exact example, but I'm like, oh, you're gonna do this behind my back, well, watch what I'm gonna do behind your back. I can clap back 10 times louder, harder.
I'd love to hear what the same question back to you. Like, how did anger manifest for you as a preteen?
So when I was younger, kind of like what I shared earlier, I think that the adults in my household at the time, so I actually didn't live with just my parents. I lived with like grandma, aunts and uncles, and they were very angry people. But I think as a child, I confused anger with aggression and violence. And those are two completely separate things now that I know as an adult. If I bring myself back to when I was younger, I really don't think that I was able to act out as all kids should be able to act out, and as your parents should be able to hold space, or like ideally would hold space for you to process that anger, right? I do have one story though. It's kind of a side story, but I remember when I was in fourth grade, so I was 10 years old, I wanted to play with a group of peers at school. So during recess,
a group of peers.
I can't call them friends because I'm not done with the story, but this was a group of peers, and I went up to them and I said, hey, can I play with you? And I remember they were like, no, can't play with us, we already have enough people. And I was so mad. So like, imagine like little Vivian, 10 years old, she's super mad. At the time, it was really cool to wear like big sneakers that were not tied super tight. And so I started walking around the playground, and you know how when you're really mad, you want to like punch something or throw something or flip bamboo chairs on the ground? What I did was I would kick my like leg really hard and the shoe would flick off my feet. And then I would walk to the shoe, put it back on and kick it again. So I was like going around the playground, flicking my shoe off. I'm right next to a building. I kick really hard and my shoe gets stuck on top of the roof of the building. And I'm so mad. I don't even care. I'm like walking off, one shoe off. Wouldn't you like,
let me just kick the other one on the roof too.
I know, I was just so mad. I was like, I don't even care that my shoe is on top of the roof. Eventually I had to talk to my teacher and get the maintenance person to grab my shoe. But yeah, I guess I processed my anger alone. I was mad too. I it got physical in a sense, the same way that yours did.
Would you say that level of anger and sass and pizzazz is what manifests now when you feel like you're turning into a furry red monster? red panda.
Panda.
Not a monster, just the panda.
I was telling Ro like 2 days ago that when Vivian gets mad, it almost feels like I pop off. Like I have no control over it. And my theory is because anger was not a feeling that I had a lot of practice navigating, I tend to hold it in. And when I do feel it, I'm very quick to tell myself, hey, no, like you don't need to be angry. The nicer, kinder thing to do is to like show compassion in this moment, to be kind, to like control yourself, be calm. But the reality is like that doesn't make the anger go away. Like all you're doing is just like pushing it deeper. And then the same thing happens again and it like gets a little bit bigger. And you're like, no, like pull back, right? It's like with those stories where you and your partner, something tiny, tiny happens and you just like blow up on them. And they're like, whoa, like where did this come from? This is like an uncalled for. And it's just like that. It's like because I have all this bottled up anger, my poor boyfriend... Yesterday, I was like, guess what I'm recording tomorrow? He was like, what? I was like, anger. He was like, oh, I should be invited to this episode. He's like, I have felt Vivian's wrath.
Wow.
And that's kind of where I am right now.
Oh my God, that's so bad. It's probably over like socks. Like, why are your socks always on the floor? And yeah. He's like, whoa, okay, I'll put it back because guys are so simple.
Yeah, no, that is exactly what happened last weekend. I was like, why are you using this blanket at the park? I have picnic blankets at the park. And then he sends me a text back. He is like, I am not going to send you any more videos of Charlie at the park because that was the point of this video. And I was just like,
Something just came up. Do you think control has something to play in this?
With anger?
Yeah, like needing to feel like you're in control. Because like the blanket thing, it's like you have things a certain way. And even though it's a very little thing, it's like we tend to hold on to these little things when we feel like other things are getting out of control. We tend to control these like micro things.
I don't know if I would use the word control or expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think that some people they're very particular about certain things and they have certain expectations for how things should be organized or how things are done. Or maybe you're like just easily offended and so you have thin skin or you're a little bit more sensitive, and so when things happen it hurts or you get easily angered. I think it has more to do with that. I am curious if when you feel anger, does it typically stem from losing control in that moment for you?
I think as you're saying, it's more like when you're in a more fragile state, it's easier to be peeved or annoyed at these little things that in the grand scheme of things, you also know doesn't really matter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I tend to find that when I'm more stressed, I'm for sure more irritable. James breathes. I'm like, why are you breathing?
Yeah. Why are you breathing?
Yeah. Like, why are you breathing so loudly? I can hear it from across the room. I'm trying to record a podcast.
That's fair. I mean, I didn't get mad at the blanket situation at the park out of nowhere. I was already in a foul mood that morning.
Yeah. So I think these are just like, maybe it's not specifically because of control, but it's like when we're already in more of like unsteady floors and or waters is just like these little things trigger it a lot more. Because I think it's also easier to be like, why aren't you doing this or why are you doing this, than be like, hey, person that I love, I am feeling feelings. And it may be anger, and like, let's talk about like, no, you know, like you're not gonna be like that when you're seeing red. So we've like painted a picture of where we were in our teens and a little bit of where we are now, I guess, over the years. You already briefly mentioned that this is something that you're still working through. Like, what were the ways that you're able to calm yourself down and soothe yourself this time around while you're in Taiwan, or just any time now as an adult?
I think the first step for me, maybe in the last 5 years, is to understand that I don't need to be afraid of my anger, and that anger doesn't equal losing someone or sour relationships or aggression or hurt. Because I think a lot of times when we think of anger, at least for me, I think of externalized anger. And it's exactly what you said, where like you throw things, you kick your shoe, or you say things in the moment that you don't mean. But there are actually like thousands of ways for you to react after feeling angry. And how you react versus that feeling is not the same thing. Like, you can feel anger, it doesn't mean you're going to react in that way. Versus when I was younger, I just thought that like anger equals acting out, anger equals yelling, or, you know, just being this external rawr way. I think now I've seen myself pop off, and it's really scary. It's like in that moment, I see red. Everything that comes out of my mouth is just mean. And I don't even want to share examples because you're probably like, what can you possibly say, Vivian? But again, my poor boyfriend has definitely seen all of that. But I think that's also okay, mm-hmm. because that helped me learn that like, wow, I can kind of lose it and someone won't leave, or someone won't meet me with their anger. And those are kind of those situations over time where I've learned that, oh, actually, when I feel anger, I don't have to express it in this way. Maybe if I just like calmed down or like took a step back and then thought about my anger, I can process it a little bit better. Mm. I do want to add that I think your feelings, as we've always said, they are trying to communicate something to you. When I feel angry, it's usually because I feel like something's unfair or not right. I feel not heard or seen, and I want to like prove a point almost. But I think what my anger is trying to communicate to me is like a boundary has been crossed. Something happened. Something was said, something was done that makes me feel not okay. Like, I need to protect myself. And I think anger is trying to communicate that with you. But the difference is, at this point, once your body is communicating that, like, hey, you're angry, what are you going to do now? I think that's when you have to figure out, like, how do I be assertive in this situation where I can communicate my feelings and what's going on, and what kind of change do I want to happen and make that happen? It's not like being aggressive or like being louder or like hurting someone even more, because that probably will not make anything better for you or the other party.
Because anger may eventually turn into shame. Because I would like to believe that we're all pretty conscientious, mindful people if we're listening to this podcast and if we're here. So yeah, I think for the most part, at least for me, if I do catch myself lashing out now, and the only person that I would lash out at is my mother, I would like immediately after, I'm just like, shame.
Mm.
How did you lose control?
So you've never lashed out at James?
I don't think so.
Mm.
I think he's just such a sweet person.
He's a sweet boy.
It's like, I don't know. Like, he's like a golden retriever puppy. I don't know. I think like, because I know him so well, and because I know that it would really hurt him if I were to say things angrily or if I were to speak without being mindful of the situation, it really, really hurt him. And I think I've also grown to become the person, as you briefly touched upon just now, of no matter if it's anger, no matter if it's just uncertainties or conflicts or just things that I'm thinking through, because I'm historically, and I can still now be, a very, very impulsive person. If I think it, I'll just say it, and I can be very direct. But I think over the years, I think I've learned to first, as you said, take a step back, think through what it is that I'm feeling, think through what it is that I'm going through, process it primarily at least, so that when I talk to whoever I'm talking to, instead of coming from a place of emotion or pure, I don't know, aggression, is just, hey, this is kind of what I'm going through. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And I think that has made all the difference. Just like the one step back of like, okay, yes, you're feeling this. It's fine to feel this. Let's do something about it before you kind of externalize it. And I think at the end of the day, it really is just empathy. Always. I'm wearing a sweater that says empathy, and there's always embroidered on the sleeve. Aww. For yourself and also for other people and your external environment, including bamboo chairs.
Yeah, holding space for feelings, for me at least, that's like the biggest struggle, because I still catch myself categorizing good and bad feelings. And anger is just one that, like, I feel a lot of shame around, just like you shared. And I think, like, for me, it comes out with my partner because maybe it wasn't allowed out with my parents. When I met my parents with anger, they met me back with more anger, like bigger anger. And so because of that, I struggled the first 2 years with my relationship now, because the anger would come out and I never knew how to really talk about it. Like, I would hold it in and then I'd blow up and he would be really confused. And I think back to, like, even the relationship I had before. In that relationship, I never showed my anger because I was so scared that if I did, they would leave.
I need to be perfect.
Yes, exactly. So this relationship was really learning, like, okay, it's not good to just pop off. One. Two, how can you keep practicing? So each time I would blow up, it just got a little bit better and better each time. And one thing that stuck out to me was one time my boyfriend was really mad at me, and he said, like, I'm really mad at you right now and I don't want to talk to you. Like, I don't want to be in the same room as you. And in that moment, I realized there's nothing wrong with this. You could be mad at me and you cannot want to talk to me, and we can talk tomorrow. Like, we can talk later. Mm-hmm. And that is very much like one way that you can allow yourself to feel those feelings right now and then come back later. But before, that example was not something that I've experienced, right? Especially when you think about friends. When are you actually angry with friends? I feel like a lot of times it's really hard because you don't want to offend your friends. You don't want the relationship to go sour. And so even if you're mad, you'll hold it in. Or sometimes it's easier to just eventually not be friends with them anymore. Like, you just slowly wean yourself out of this friendship, right? And so I do see how, like, anger would more likely come up in a family situation or in a situation with your significant other because you're a lot closer. And those are things that you have to sort through together.
Absolutely. And I think anger is also, as with every emotion, and as we talk about all the time on this podcast, they're also great indicators of something that you care about deeply, because mm-hmm. something must have happened or something must have not happened for us to feel the way we felt. And those are also good directions for us to come back to or to reflect on after we've kind of cooled down, to be like, hey, like, what was this? Let's try to make mm-hmm. sense of it, so that, as you said, over time, it just, like, becomes less and less, because maybe one day you realize, like, oh, it's actually rooted in this thing, and that's, like, not something that I want to prioritize, or that's not a trait or whatever that I'd like to be a defining characteristic or that I'd like to have. Because I think, like, even though feelings are all neutral, I think from like a slightly more spiritual perspective. It's like every emotion is showing you something. The mm-hmm. positive ones, the calming ones, the grounding one is showing you that you're in touch with like your true essential. The word that I'm thinking of is like Foxing, like Buddha-like side. And then the more negative, fury, you know, all of that, it's like showing you, I really don't like saying this word because it sounds really intense, but like in Chinese, like Moxing, which is like demon nature. It's kind of like, I love this saying from, it's like from the Tumblr days. So like a grandpa of a tribe was teaching the kids in his village, you know, there's two wolves and they're fighting against each other. One of them is like loyalty, trust, honor, positivity, just made up the last one. And the other one is like anger, jealousy, deceit, and blah, blah, blah. And then he asks the kids like, who wins? And the kids are like, I don't know, grandpa, who? And he goes, whichever one you feed. Mm-hmm. And then these two wolves exist inside you. And when I read that, I was just like, wow, actually, I wanna see if I can pull it up because that did not do it justice. Two wolves inside you. Okay. The tale of two wolves. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, doubt, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity. Oh my God, I didn't remember it being this long. Guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, forgiveness, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, what wolf wins? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. So I think like maybe it's because of things like this where like I can see us reading this, I mean, I read this when I was younger too, right? To be like, oh, this is bad and this is good.
Yeah.
I think from like one perspective that makes sense. But then I think we also forget the part that it's like there's two wolves inside us. So we have all of this inside us. It's less about the good and the evil and more about kind of like the harmony of everything coexisting together and proactively choosing which side to feed more. Because when you feel angry, but when you feel resentment, when you feel jealousy, these are all valid feelings, but it's like, do we choose to feed into it or are we conscious about it and or trying to take a step back and like, okay, I feel this. What am I going to do with this information?
No, yeah, I think that's like a perfect example. And it's just as you said, all of it is inside of us, right? And so it's like learning how to live with that and like tuning into maybe you feel angry all the time. Well, then why? You know, like that's communicating something to you. Mm. And it's just as you said, like if something's making me feel really calm versus something's making me feel really angry, both things are trying to communicate, well, what's happening here and what's happening here and how can I feed more into this side? Because I mean, unless you want to feel angry all the time, which I don't.
To each his own, right?
But also like you're denying one side. Mm-hmm. That side is gonna pop off.
It's kind of like when you put so much pressure, like if you imagine like a container, if you just keep pressing down and down and there's like, I don't know, it's like air, water, whatever. If you keep pressuring it over time, a crack will form. Something is gonna form. And when it does, first the crack is small and then gets bigger and bigger and then it explodes open and then you explode.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than, you know, allowing that pressure to build up like a pressure cooker, because you know how like in a pressure cooker, like there's that little valve that you have to,
yes.
So it can like, and like slowly, you know, dissipate. If that valve is closed, the pressure cooker will explode and you are the pressure cooker. So yeah, just turning that little valve and letting the air simmer out.
I am the pressure cooker. Did you see I just let some of that out?
Maybe that's why we sigh.
I know, right? It's like deep. That's why you take deep breaths.
Yeah. So remember to take deep breaths. To let the pressure cooker simmer. Like, it's okay that the pressure cooker is there. Just be mindful of what you're feeding it. And also to have some sort of an outlet. It could be talking it out with other parties that aren't involved. It could be writing it out. It could be going for a walk to clear your mind. It could be taking a nap. You know, taking a nap can do wonders to really help you regulate that nervous system.
Fuming Vivian cannot fall asleep.
What do you do when you're fuming?
I think I don't know. Like, I'm just fuming. But I think I need to, like, go take a walk. I think that would help me and everyone around me.
Yeah.
I get really stuck in my head because, like, it's just as you said, where, like, when you get really mad, you're just like, oh, I'm so mad. You see everything in black and white. And you're like, everything's wrong. Like, they're so wrong, blah, blah, blah. And it's just creating that space in that moment. Is everything wrong? Is this the end of the world? I think that when it comes to feelings, there are some feelings that are easier to feel than others, right? And this is speaking from my own experience. A lot of times when I feel anger, it's because I'm hurt. And feeling angry is a lot easier than feeling sad for me, because feeling sad, you feel so defeated. But like when you're angry, you almost have this, like, it almost feels powerful, you know, like I can do something about it. Like, I have control over this situation. I'm going to hurt this person. I'm going to yell back. Like, I'm going to be louder and bigger than whatever. But I think, like, now too, when I'm in a moment of anger, I'm like asking myself, who hurt you? Like, why are you hurt? You know, like, what's happening? Because are you actually upset that they brought a picnic, like a blanket, out to the park? Or is there something else that's happening that's like harder for you to deal with, or like more hurtful than this moment of anger that your body is like reacting with? I guess that's the final question for me.
Mm-hmm. Who hurt you?
Who hurt you? What hurt you?
What hurt you? Oh, why are you hurting?
Yeah, I think that's really good. And also, as you kind of work through that first layer of who hurt you, why are you feeling this way? I think the last layer, at least for me, is maybe not the last, but the next layer would be, is this something worth your time, and or is this something worth fighting for? And for the most part, in these scenarios, when I do get angry, no, it's not something worth fighting for. And if it's not something worth fighting for, can I let it go? And it's really hard, especially when you get like a wall of text and they're like, and you're like this, and you're like this, and you're like this. Could I actually just got a wall of text from an editor that I was working with. And I was like, oh, you're going to lecture me on my business, even though you're the one who didn't deliver a satisfactory video that I had to literally re-edit from the scratch myself, and I still paid you? You're gonna lecture me? I read this text as I was getting up today before we're recording, so I was like, oh, it's so timely. And I was like, literally, like, on the toilet, like, I could feel the anger bubbling, but I was like, is it worth it? And then I thought back to what James told me. He was like, I would not spend an extra minute on this. Just pay him and like close that chapter. So like that voice, it's kind of, you know, like the voices in our heads, our care teams, right? Like internalizing these positive voices that just came rushing to the forefront of my mind of, it's okay, let it go. You don't need to have the last word. You don't need to be right. You don't need to always say what's on your mind. And that is uncharacteristic of me, because I always need to be the one that has the last word. And I always need to be the one who's right. Maybe we should have an episode where James and your BF come on, and then it's like they can have a support group.
They're like, what you hear on the podcast is not what we see 24/7.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I surprisingly feel a lot more calm right now. And like,
me too. We hope you do too.
Yeah.
Babe's like, yeah.
Maybe I'm just exhausted. Anywho, yeah, I love this episode. I feel like we should do more episodes on like different feelings, because we typically talk about like support and care and like patience and calmness, but it's really fun to go into these and see what stories come out to and like experience the different sides of Ro and Viv that definitely exist.
Yes. Just feeling human feelings, embracing all seasons of life and all aspects of us.
Wahoo!
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another beautiful episode. If you guys enjoyed this potty, we would be eternally grateful if you left a little review, if you left some stars, and if you left, literally anything you guys would message us privately or, you know, in our DMs or in our emails, if you feel open, or if you want to just share a snippet of that in the review, it will help us allow our podcast to reach a lot more people and to continue expanding this positive message, I hope. If you have any questions, if you want to reach out to us, you can always find us at hello@voicehugspodcast.com and on Instagram at voicehugspodcast.
Yay!
Ding, 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 ding. Voice hugs.
Voice hugs.
Voice hugs.